look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
I'm CIA.
Spies. Bunch of bitchy little girls.
You take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
What was your response, Phil Mudd?
A couple surprises. Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
You magnificent bastard, I read your book!
I did write The Art of the Deal. Did anybody ever hear of The Art of the Deal?
You love getting even.
Oh, absolutely. You don't believe in the eye for the eye. You do.
No.
I know you well enough. I think you do. But anyway, but.
But tell me. I mean, you're going to get even with some people.
Yeah, I know. If given the opportunity, I will get even with some people that were disloyal to me. I mean, I had a group of people that were disloyal.
But how do you define disloyal?
The corrupt establishment knows that we are a great threat to their criminal enterprise. They know that if we win, their power is gone, and it's returned to you, the people. Will be. The dark cloud hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide who are capable of such crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation, believe me. And this will be our last chance.
Release the Kraken!
That lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
I am your voice. Join me in taking back our country and creating a bright, glorious, and prosperous new future for our people. We will make America great again.
I am the storm.
Rex a lot.
He's here. Rex is here.
He's here. Do you want him to stay in his
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Rex is here. Did you miss us? It's been almost a month since we've done a show. I didn't miss doing this. I mean, there's so much going on, and none of what we talk about in our national discourse matters because none of us know what is really going on. But there is more going on than any time in the recent past. Perhaps there's more going on than ever since Christ's ascension. But we're not talking about it, and we don't know much about it. And it's glimpses of shades of shadows and phantoms in the smoke. But I guess absence makes the heart grow fonder, so we're back. And frankly, if you've been paying attention, you haven't missed much because Butch Robinson, a.k.a. Bond Robin, has been dropping a lot of videos on his Rumble channel. Make sure you follow him on Gab, Bond_Robin, that pretty much kind of encapsulate anything that we might actually say here. And if you're still watching Fox News or Newsmax or OAN reading the common bullshit, then you don't really know what's going on. But if you have a discerning eye, Steve Bannon gives you 3 hours every weekday and 2 hours on Saturday. Alex Jones gives you at least 3 hours a day and sometimes does a special broadcast on the weekend. And that's pretty much it, more than enough. The fact of the matter is, Republicans still suck. Republicans suck donkey dick. The Democrats are batshit crazy and worse than ever with Xi Jinping's CCP puppet LARPing as president. But the problem for America, problem for America first, as usual, is the Republican Party. The conservative liberals, as opposed to the progressive liberals. The GOP built government shadow structure known as the permanent state, the deep state, whatever the fuck state, while Democrats conducted a long march through the institutions with Gramsci's ghost. Funded by Republicans. Funded by the Republican CIA. Oh, Rex, the CIA is not Republican. Really? Really? Was Alan Dulles a Republican? Was his brother at State Department a Republican? It was formed under Truman, a Democrat, from the leftovers of the OSS, formed under a Democrat, Roosevelt. But it really took off during the Eisenhower administration, a Republican administration. And Eisenhower was kind enough to enable them, grow them, and hand over your government to the military-industrial complex, and then kindly warn you about it as he was leaving office. Just like Woodrow Wilson was kind enough to enable and empower a Republican Federal Reserve scheme. It was originally called the Aldrich Plan, a Republican plan, and then warn you about it as he was leaving office. Funny how that happens. And so this Gramsci's Ghosts March Through the Institutions was funded by the Republican CIA. And those wonderful foundations and trusts, chiefly, but not limited to, the Rockefellers, Republicans. It's the Republicans, stupid. It's always the Republicans, stupid. And while those who are loony lefties rage against the machine, they prop up the machine. And those of you that are on the far right rage against the machine while you prop up the machine. And you libertarians rage against the machine, prop up the machine, without really getting to the core. Oh, rich libertarians believe the Federal Reserve is the core of the problem. The Federal Reserve is a tool of the problem. If you think the Federal Reserve is the core of the problem, then you've been conditioned to be a cuck by people like, oh, I don't know, Peter Schiff. It must be remembered that there is nothing more difficult to plan, more doubtful of success, nor more dangerous to manage than a new system. For the initiator has the enmity of all who would profit by the preservation of the old institution, and merely lukewarm defenders in those who gain by the new ones. Niccolo Machiavelli, how true it is. The one thing that those in power despise is to lose it. The one thing they despise is a change in their scheme that they didn't initiate. The one thing they despise is you. Republicans suck. Democrats suck. It all sucks. And if you let it keep sucking without a fight, You suck too. You got to fight, whether you want to or not. Force is required. I'm not recommending violent action because that's what they want you to do, because that gives them the pretext to unleash hell and blame you for it, right? I'm not talking about violence. There's a difference between violence and force. If you want to know what the difference is, ask Butch Robinson. But force is required. You got to be smart about it. You got to watch out for provocateurs because they want you to be violent. And you got to understand something. Right now, it's like a completely weird paradigm that we're in. Clearly, we're under some kind of con plan. There's no question about that. Okay? Granted, Shadow, Octagon, Free Jack, Zodiac, Resum, Jeep, whatever the hell, okay? There's no question that we're under some kind of continuation of government plan. And while the public purse strings may be controlled by the witch of the House and the self-filleting majority leader of the Senate and the LARPing dotard in the White House and that cackling cunt, Kamala, they're not in charge of at least some military operations. I mean, basically, their political appointments to the Department of Defense are woke and funding trans testicle surgeries and seeking out those white supremacists hiding under every bed and every cot and in every forward base of our military. But they're not really doing anything as far as military operations, which are at an unbelievably high rate of action. I mean, it's pretty incredible what's going on, or at least what we can see about the military activity, what they're actually doing. You can guess, but you really don't know. That's the nature of clandestine operations, right? Now, what can you do about that? Well, unless you're in the military and you're in on this, you don't know. You can look up in the sky if you're near one of these bases and wonder why so many flights are coming in and out or anything like that. But beyond that, you really don't know. Your world is in two other phases. One is electoral politics, which seems to be completely grounded, and the other one is in the fake pandemic lockdown thing, right? The Vent 201, Crimson Contagion, the SPARS virus. I said SPARS. If you don't know what that is, you've got to check out the SPARS 2025-2028 document. Alex Jones has done very good work on exposing it. I've read the document. Is this a limited hangout? Probably to some extent, but it is, you know, look, psychopaths and sociopaths kind of think so little of you that they don't mind telling you exactly what they're doing, because most people won't seek out the information, let alone believe it if they see it. But it's happening. And just in case you forgot, right, Time Magazine, Molly Ball of Time Magazine, admitted, in fact, she was boasting about the fact that a secret cabal, her words, not mine, rigged the election against President Trump in favor of the CCP candidate, Beijing Biden. Don't forget that and repeat it every day. They admitted it. Why would we let it go? Right? What she did in that, what they did in that, is that they're finally exposing that the Republic is, in fact, not at all Democratic. For those of you that are shocked by that, you're asleep, because it hasn't been a democratic republic for a very long time, probably most, if not all, of your life. But we never discussed it, right? We pretended that there was a republic, that there was a constitution, that we had functioning checks and balances, and states' rights, and two parties, and competitive elections, and all that nonsense, when we didn't. And now it's finally been exposed. Out in the open, not speculation, not conspiracy theory, not conjecture. It's fact. In your face, fucking fact. I mean, as former President Jim Acosta stated, this is an oligarchy. And the problem with oligarchy is that a minority of insipid fools wield power over a large mass of dangerous proles. And in case you're wondering, you're the proles. And you're supposed to be dangerous. They think you're dangerous. You should be dangerous. Most of you are not dangerous. Most of you are inert. You might be active. You might be posting. You might be participating. But you're inert. You need to be dangerous. They think you're dangerous. They treat you as dangerous. You might as well be dangerous. Hence, they must distract the populace and divide them against each other on superficial points in order to prevent the mob from killing the oligarchs. Oligarchs are always afraid of the mob killing them. Always. And they act that way. The problem is that sometimes the mob gives them the benefit of the doubt and doesn't think that treating you as if they're afraid you're going to kill them. They always treat you as if you're going to kill them. So you need to become dangerous because they're going to preemptively attack you because they feel threatened by you, because they would kill you in a heartbeat if it served their purposes, or leave you alone if it serves their purposes. Makes no difference to them. You have a moral conscience, and so you extend that benefit of the doubt to everybody when you should not. These people are psychopathic. If the majority of Americans, that's about 80-plus million Trump voters and 40 million, quote, normie morons who were fooled into voting for Biden, unite against oligarchy, freedom may be at hand. That would even include the 20 million ardent Biden/CCP voters who actually voted for the Democrat fascist puppet ticket. That's about all that voted for Biden. 20 million moronic Americans voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Another 40 million to 43 million voted more or less either for the Democrat Party, which happened to somehow select the guy with the lowest polling in the primary, and the one chick who accused him of being both a racist and a rapist that everybody hates more than him, as their winning ticket. I suspect most of those votes were more anti-Trump than they were pro-Democrat or pro-Biden. But either way, they need to be disabused of the idiocy, which, I mean, frankly, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Pelosi and Schumer are doing for most people every day. They stole the biggest election victory to date in 2020. From 2015, which is the first time that we had a successful counterattack. Now, there were fits and starts, right? You know, oh, Reagan, Tea Party, blah, blah, whatever. Okay, but I mean, I've been through it before. I told you, well, you know what? I'll go through it again because it's been a month, right? Goldwater and Kennedy were planning on campaigning together and holding debates without rancor. So that would have been a fair race between, quote, conservative, libertarian, and liberal, libertarian-ish politics, right? Well, globalists couldn't have that. I mean, you can't have a free choice. So they killed Kennedy, actually killed him. And they essentially killed Goldwater. It was a little Daisy commercial about the nuclear threat, which at the time everybody was afraid of because, well, that was the whole purpose of nuclear fire. And essentially they neutered Goldwater. Now, Reagan, who'd moved from New Deal, quote, conservatism, New Deal liberalism to, quote, conservatism, whatever that means, it took him 16 years from that 1964 speech for Goldwater, you know, the rendezvous with destiny, which is a fucking fantastic speech, okay? It took him 16 years to become president. Now, Reagan might have got the nomination for the Republicans in 1976, but the apparatus picked Ford to go down in a crashing victory against Jimmy Carter, which, I mean, when you think about it, some people say it was because of the Nixon impeachment. Really, it was because of the evangelical, you know, moral majority movement that voted for Carter in 76 and Reagan in 1980. That's really what was the difference more than anything else. But anyway, so 16 years Reagan gets in there, and it only took him 2 months to get shot by Jeb's buddy. And yes, it's a fact that John Hinckley, who may have believed that he was shooting Reagan to impress lesbian Jodie Foster, if that makes any fucking sense, assuming that he's the one that shot him, which we're not 100% sure, but either way, he was Jeb's buddy. They had dinner the night or two nights before he tried to shoot Reagan. And who would have become president if they'd actually killed Reagan? George, New World Order, Bush, DCI, Director Central Intelligence, the White House. About that. Then from that point, basically, Reagan had his rhetoric, even though some of Reagan's policies were insane. I mean, he came in essentially on the North American Union, you know, to compete with the European community, I guess, at the time, or North American Union, open borders, amnesty. He cucked out on the nuclear talks because of, you know, the movie The Day After, you know, which frightens you. And he was probably already getting Alzheimer's, probably aggravated by his traumatic experience with the bullet. And essentially, George H.W. Bush was running a secret White House. I think the whole thing happened with Iran-Contra and Ollie North. I mean, really, put it together. And then there was Newt Gingrich, who basically took 5 more years after Reagan left the White House to bring the Republicans reluctantly into a majority in Congress after 40 years. And it only took them under 4 years to get rid of Newt, who didn't really do all that much. I mean, he moved the needle slightly back towards the right, and everybody gives Bill Clinton the credit for it, thanks to Dick Morris and the Republicans. And then that was it. And it took you 10 more years for the Tea Party to rise up against George Double Vagina Bush, son of New World Order Bush. And then 6 more years for Trump to come down the golden escalator. 56 years before we even got a shot. And from 2015 to now is 6 years. 56 years, we had one shot, and that was a six-year experience, and now here we are. You can either give up and say, it's all over, we'll never win, they're too powerful, Trump's in on it, or you can just go about doing what you've always done before to get the same stupid results, or you can do something different, something smart. Now is not the time to quit. We just need to change tactics. The strategy remains the same. The goal remains the same. Public perception has shifted. That's a big point. You got to capitalize on that. The enemy has never been weaker. We've never been stronger. And one way or another, an extinction-level event is coming. But whining is not a strategy. There are many fronts in this war, and make no mistake about it, it is a war, an unrestricted war. And you need to be engaged in constant combat. And then when we win, you have to remain in a state of war, because perpetual vigilance against evil, which is what this is all about, is necessary, especially the evil in your own heart. You got to remember something, right? We haven't lost something in 2020, them stealing the election. I mean, yes, technically we lost Trump's second term, okay? But that's not really a loss in the sense that it's, oh, we lost the Republic. Truth is, the Republic was already dead. And Trump's legacy ended 20. It's now April 2021. So Trump's power, his term, the effectiveness of what he was doing with America First, ended with the China virus, the Wu flu, CCP virus, COVID-1984, over a year ago. Now, Trump has done amazing things, and anybody that denigrates him for that is out of their mind, because the man didn't have to do this, and he did it. He did it for you, and you can't let that be forgotten. In fact, you need to shout it from the rooftop every day. And he's probably doing something now. I don't know if it's just limited to electoral politics or if somehow he's involved in the con plan. Who knows? But he's doing something. And Trump is not the kind of guy who's going to be like, oh, okay, they stole the election from me. Mike Pence, you know, stepped on his dick, and I'm just going to walk away and go play golf. He's not going to do that. that I know, right? What, when, how, sheer speculation. Let's just say it's a pointless exercise. So you've got to really put things in perspective, right? Because there's the precinct project. There is there's a lot of things you can do, and we'll probably get into that at some point in the show. I've already gone on too long. But your efforts, or lack thereof right now, will determine the future political structure of at least the partisan and electoral politics. Okay, more and more information is coming out every day. Mike Lindell is about to launch his social media platform. He's dropping videos with evidence. There's court cases going forward. State legislatures are doing things to bring out what happened. Because the fact of the matter is, if you don't fix our electoral politics before 2022, it won't matter. But if you just say, oh, they fixed the machines and we can't vote, and so what's the point? Then, you know, that's just, you're giving up. You're shooting yourself in the foot. But don't proceed like it's a fair election. You got to proceed like you got to take over a party. You got to pressure the weak, and you've got to put in the strong who will actually fix the integrity of your voting system, because based on the actual popular numbers, MAGA Publicans will win bigly. That's where your focus has to be, right? Because the Democrats are revolutionary agitators, and the Republicans want to hide under Reagan's rhetoric and fake MAGA America First rhetoric while going back to being the globalist corporatist party enabling the fucking revolutionaries that they've always been. Only populist nationalism will preserve sovereignty. That's up to you. If you're not working on that every day, you're not doing anything. And if you don't remind yourself every day that Trump did great things, donkey dick, you will fail.
Chris! Chris! Chris!
I'm busy!
I'm busy, you stupid dick!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women.
Hey, Trog, Captain Caveman, Republicans still suck. And I'm not paying $80 million for a fucking pizza.
Ha! Hey, keep talking. I made $1,000 of Bitcoin while you were talking. I'm just kidding. So, what's the topic? Republicans suck. Who came up? Oh, I came up with that. Okay. Let's see if I can match your incredible opening there. I don't think I can because my brain is a little sick of politics, to be honest with you. Here's the problem, and it's the problem I've had for years, and we've talked about it for years, and I was very skeptical during the Trump administration and the people he was telling us to vote for, and you and I said it, vote for that asshole because Trump said vote for him, and, you know, hopefully he has a plan. Well, they fucked him, and you. And stole your votes and gave it to dead people, illegals, and people who don't exist. And if you're not pissed off about that, you know, I said, I don't know, several shows ago, which with our, what, we've been off air for 2-3 weeks. Not long enough, believe me. These damn Republicans, there is no way they could have pulled off this steal without the help of Republicans in majority and or governorships of several states. You have to understand that. And if you let that go, then you might as well surrender. I mean, seriously, what are you fighting? Because you're not fighting. I said a long time ago, and the most frustrating thing to me has always been that I have to pony up to a side that is full of weak, corrupt, lying, cuckable, afraid of their own shadow, pieces of shit. That's the most frustrating part about this war. The war itself doesn't bother me. at all. I mean, honestly, come on. You're born in a world controlled by your, ruled by your enemy who wants to destroy you, Ephesians. If you understand that, then you realize I'm in a war and that's, I got to get, you know, this figured out and I got to come to terms with that. And then that's my battle through life. You know, they say life is a testing place, not a resting place, blah, 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 blah. You know, so if you settle with that, I'm fine with the war. No part of it bothers me. What bothers me is I got to pony up to a bunch of crap and try to fight like the left fights. That's the thing. And I've said this all the time. They have nothing in their policies that I agree with. Their human rights bullshit is bullshit. Their equality bullshit is bullshit. Everything that they claim they're fighting for is bullshit. There's nothing they have that I desire to be a part of. But I admire the fact that they fight, they never back down, they never turn on each other, and they have a plan, and their goal is to destroy their opponent. That, what's not to admire about that? You know, they will do and say and things and go places that people on the right somehow have decided that this is not the right way to do it. We've got to be better and more polite and more cultured and more inclusive and bull crap. That's why you lose over and over and over and over and over again. You're cucked. You're Marxized, as Rex Christie says. People on the right, especially modern American Christians, do not understand the war they're in. And so because they don't understand it or believe it, they don't know how to fight in it. You know? It's frustrating. You know, I look across the landscape because, you know, obviously Trump is doing some 2022 plan, hope to get these machine issues fixed. You know, hopefully Mike Lindahl actually has it seems like the guy's got the fight, he's got the resources, he's got the plan, and he doesn't back down. You want an example of a Christian that fights? There he is, Mr. My Pillow. You know? The only people, now maybe there's more of them, you know, Butch, us, but, you know, big name brand people. The only two people I can even listen to right now are Bannon's War Room and Alex Jones. Is that some funny shit? And you know why? Because they're the only ones that keep talking about election fraud. They're the only ones that will talk about what's really going on at the border. They're the ones that talk about what China's doing. You know, they hit the facts hard, like when Trump was coming to power, when he was seizing power.
The funny thing is that they're becoming more and more similar every day. Bannon's now selling supplements. They both have a bearded millennial co-pilot.
Yeah.
They both have a show called War Room.
Well, and not just that. You know, I mean, what did Bannon do the other day? He went off into the transhumanist shit. Yeah, it was awesome. You know, not that it's anything you and I haven't known, covered, read about, heard before, but, you know, the fact that he was willing to go there, you know, because that puts you right off the deep end. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. These people aren't that evil. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they hate God. They believe that the human being is a bunch of algorithms and that if we can get our handle on that, you know, through technology, we can live forever. They believe that shit. And you don't have
Bannon,
to be a conspiracy.
And that's not Bannon or Torba or Jones saying that. That's them.
It's coming out of their mouth.
Saying it.
It's them. Listen to TED Talk. Listen to – read their white papers. These guys punch out. It's just like the thing you were talking about, Rex. The fact that they wrote that article showing how they stole the election and basically printed it and shoved it in your face. You know? I mean, it's like they don't care because there's enough suckers in the world to buy into their bullshit. And they somehow, because of libertarians and Republicans, created – the biggest corporations on the face of the earth. Now they have the money and the power. They've transcended governments. They control most governments. They own most politicians in Washington, D.C. They're that powerful. They're as bad as the robber barons of the Industrial Revolution. And it took who was it? Teddy? To bust some of this shit up. You know? I mean, I'm getting riled up. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. See, for me personally, it's what I'm doing. I'm getting busy in life again. Because right now, I don't know. I know what the war is, but I don't know what the battle strategy is because Trump is quiet. Okay, you got kind of, like you said, there's, you know, little hints and things. Oh, yeah, he's going to back a bunch of candidates and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, good. Let's see who he backs this time. Let's see if he actually goes after people that Bannon wanted to take down when he was in the White House. Now that we won, we need to get rid of McConnell. We need to get rid of this guy, that guy, that guy. And they chose not to do it and kicked Bannon out the door for whatever reason. Could be a variety of things. But Bannon's always been about cleaning out the Republican Party and taking control, you know, and Trump had a different philosophy. He said, I can control them. Well, right up until they fucking helped the left steal the election from you, that's about how much control we had, obviously, of those guys, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. That's what happened, you know, and so frustrated about that still? Probably. I am very frustrated about that because you and I saw it coming. You know, Bannon had people, had experts on months beforehand, even went to the White House and laid out what they're going to do to steal the election. And they fucking did it, you know? So I don't know. I don't know what the next plan is. See, I kind of know what the next plan is. Don't get me wrong about that. But I don't know if the next plan is going to finally have the level of intensity and strike force that is going to be necessary to save my fucking country. That's what I don't know. You know, backing some politicians, electing some people, yada, yada, yada. Well, yeah, I remember the Tea Party. Remember that one? What did we take? 62 seats and a massive sweep on the Tea Party rise. And then how many were left 2 years later? Five? Because a bunch of people rode the freaking wave. They were liars. A handful of them were true to form. So is that going to happen again? I don't know. Maybe, probably. I mean, if you got a Republican, I really think the problem is the mascot. Get rid of the fucking elephant. Get a pit bull in there. Get a lion in there. Get something ferocious in there because elephants are just too easy to sucker into getting shot. You know? They just, they, you know, they'll chomp.
Although every other animal moves out of the way when an elephant comes.
Yeah. But
including lions.
We need pure predator. We need predator. We need Patton. We need Patton's mindset. You know, I pray for my enemies, you know, and because I'm here to destroy them. That's what we need. That's what we needed. That's what we thought we got. Well, here we are. So I'm going to go back to this basic concept. They're obviously going to dump trillions and trillions of more dollars into the economy, which is going to – see, inflation's bullshit. The numbers they use in the government is bullshit. I can tell you that because when I go down in a half-inch hunk of sheet of plywood is almost double what it was a year ago, I know inflation isn't under 2%. That's times two. Okay, so all those basic goods and services, I remember I never go to Costco, but somebody needed help shopping and walked out of there with two carts, it was $800. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And that wasn't steak and lobster either. You know, and so you keep dumping money on this economy without any kind of checks and balances on it, it's going to really F the dollar up. And then you've got cryptocurrencies, you got China creating, you know, China shut down all the independent cryptocurrencies and then they launched their own. And so I don't think it's ever going to have the same meat, but they want the countries of the world have been saying for years, Russia, China, Iran, you know, people are not necessarily our friends, have said for years they want out from under the U.S. reserve currency. And with this group in power, there's a good chance they're going to do it. And that happens, then it's going to be runaway U.S. currency issues in this country. So I'm going to say this again. Get out of debt. Get out of debt.
Or go into debt. If what you're saying is true, I would say go into debt.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, if what you're saying is true, I would say go into debt. You'd be insane to get out of it.
Yeah, go into it and write it off. You mean?
Oh, whoops!
Well, it'll get if you're talking about a hyperinflation scenario, then what's the fucking problem with debt? It's all going to get devalued. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah. No. I didn't say hyperinflation, but I said something's coming. You can't keep dumping trillions and trillions of dollars in the economy without impacting the dollar to some degree or another. As far as the rest of the world's concerned or what they're going to do, I heard the other day that we got like 100 ship flotilla around Taiwan. So who knows what the hell. They may go just going, dang, we got our guy in office. Let's just take Taiwan while we're here. You know, they took Hong Kong without a squeak or a whimper out of our government. You know, so it's going to be interesting because I'll tell you what, all the people who you would say are not our friends are really frisky across the globe right now. And all the people, you know, like cartels, China, Russia, Iran, and the rest of them, they're having a heyday. They're going like, yeah, we got the people back in power. We want in power because they're a bunch of crooks and we have all the goods on them. So we're pretty much going to just push it right to the bloody edge. Now, what you were saying about who controls the military, that may factor in. But watching the activity around the world, it sure looks like people are getting frisky. God, yeah. And then that ship, they ever get that ship dislodged in the Panama Canal? That was really weird that happened.
The ship, the Evergreen and the Suez, that was done. That was nothing. It was done a long time ago. I mean, it was like over a weekend they took care of it. Like I said, most of what we talk about is bullshit, nonsense.
Wow. So take care of your family. Prepare. Be prepared. Be nimble. Be lean. Be feisty. Don't give up. It's only your damn country and your children's futures, you know. And as far as the political game goes, I'm waiting. Just like everybody else, I'm waiting. You know, and most of the stuff, like I don't think I've been on Gab for a week and a half. I haven't clicked on much of anybody. Why? Because they're all speculative and we have a higher prediction ratio than most people I've ever listened to. So why in the hell would I listen to them over and over and over? Let's just rehash the same shit. If they are not talking about election fraud and keeping this stuff front and center, then what are they doing? They're just basically bound down to, let's focus on 2022. Well, if you don't fix the machines, it ain't going to fucking matter. So, you know, I hear that cases are still moving forward, that legislation in these states is still, I don't know, Arizona is still hasn't audited the machines. And it was like 2 months ago they said, and even got a judge to sign off on it, saying, yeah, you have the right to audit these machines. And they're still delaying. You know, and while they delay, what happens? I don't know. They, you know, burn ballots and can change the code on the machines. This ain't cryptocurrency, people. They can change that data. You know, this ain't blockchain, which might be an idea. Somebody can figure out a blockchain voting system because then every transaction is kept forever and you can track it down. Boy, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? If you could actually look at the voting, you know, and find out who voted and when, where, why, were they legal? You know, but when you own the machines, you could change the machines. So by the time this shit gets audited, who the hell knows what evidence is left? And the stuff that Lindell is talking about, he's covering shit that nobody else has covered. You know, he's like in a whole nother sphere.
Where's he getting his
data? Yeah, no shit. That's a good question.
It's almost like of the cheating was recorded somewhere by somebody and that data is available.
Well, what they say about the internet, you know, and technology is there's always a fingerprint. You know, it goes it somewhere. If it floats around the internet, it's logged somewhere. You know, maybe the delays are so they can, track it down and try to delete it.
No way.
I don't know.
It's been that data has been captured.
Captured. Well, that's what Lindell says. I got the times, the dates, the passcodes, the people. I mean, that's some serious evidence. Of course, you know, Chris Ray and whoever in the hell is the head of DOJ, they're, you know, busy worrying about, you know, transgender shit. So, and white supremacists and transgenders. So, there you go.
Yeah.
What did I say? We're in the shit now, folks. It's a wild ride, you know. Take a break. Plant a garden. It's garden season. Fix your fence.
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
Shut that fucking computer off a couple hours a day, you know. Get away. Get some fresh air. Springtime, you know. Because until we know what Trump is actually doing, and there's two parallel roads here. One is the election stuff, the political crap, right? Two is this other stuff that you keep bringing up, you know, who's got control of the military, what's going on here, where does a guy like Lindell get this data? Because that's big data, you know, that's like, to be able to track that kind of data and capture it, that's like NSA shit, you know? So there's like two tracks going on here, and we're all limbo, waiting, you know? When's it going to bust loose? I mean, the best thing in the world, I mean, I can hope. Best thing in the world is they go, this election was stolen. Joe Biden, you're out. Trump, you're back in. That would be just fucking awesome, wouldn't it? You know, and they're going to burn the cities down anyway. They're going to burn the cities down. Did you hear about that cop that supposedly killed whatever, what's his name is, the worshipped Jesus of the left, you know, the guy that was going to die of fentanyl overdose anyway. Whatever his name is, Pink Floyd. They had, the camera angle that they pushed out into the public that he had his knee on his neck. No, there are other camera angles that's coming up showing he had shifted his knee off of the guy's neck onto his back to hold him down. Because they had guy that was like
it was in the neck. It was in the neck area. Like it was within 5 feet of his neck. So
5 feet. It was on his ankle. You know how deadly that is? Yeah. So you know they're threatening to burn down the city if they don't put that guy in prison. So I don't know. Let him burn. What did I say in a comment earlier? I said, you know what? I'd wall off these big cities. It's like the Escape from New York. I'd give them all the drugs and guns they want. I'd get pay-per-view. Up and running, and just let them kill each other because that seems like what they really want to do. You know, just let it go. You know, make some money, pay off the debt. You know, is that kind of crazy? Well, yeah. Here's the problem. What the left plays against you is your morals, your concerns, your respect for life. And they just rub it in your face as they destroy humanity. These big inner cities have been disintegrating for decades and decades and decades. And nobody ever does anything about it except they ship more money to these cities. They're corrupt. They're filthy. They're full of cartels. They're full of human trafficking. They're full of evil. And now it's spilled over. We used to like, you'd think about Minneapolis or New York or whatever, L.A. or whatever, and you go, oh, that's terrible. Well, now it's spilled over into the rest of the country. Well, you know, that's what happens. Who didn't see that coming? Now it's in your face everywhere. So, I don't know. Let them burn it down. Just build a big wall so they can't get out. I mean, who cares? I mean, you say, well, that's kind of a cold-hearted attitude. Does anybody really give a shit? Does anybody really give a shit about the slaves that are building your Nikes and your iPhones? No, you're going to buy the next version and the new tennis shoes. You don't really give a shit. Don't tell me that crap. The starving children in Africa. Well, that's been going on for a long time, too. You know, that what was that website you gave me? I thought it was great. It was that...
The World Bank website? Yeah, the World Bank.
Yeah, World Meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really got some interesting statistics on it. I love the part where it shows numbers of starving people in the world and numbers of obese people in the world is almost the same. So my son said, hey, so that means we should feed the obese people to the starving people and that problem solved. I go, yeah, that's an idea.
You only need to feed half of the obese people to the starving people.
And balance it out.
Yeah.
And cut the population. Bill Gates would like that.
Wasn't it Jonathan Swift that suggested that the English eat the Irish babies?
Yeah, I'm looking through it right now. Under 851 million undernourished people. The number of overweight. Oh, okay, overweight is 1.7 billion. Obese people, 780 million. So it's almost the same. There you go. Just feed the obese people to the undernourished people and problem solved. There you go. I solved that problem. Next.
Are you submitting your resume to the World Economic Forum?
Well, what did I say the other day? We're in the wrong business, Rex. We should get in human trafficking. Hell, it's a sanctioned government affair, and everybody's making money, except you and me.
That's because Alex Jones stops human trafficking by actually picking up a car and shaking the trafficked kids out of it.
He's such a bulldog, isn't he? That guy just cracked me up. and then Owen's there. You're gonna run over a human being. The guy, poor guy in the mask, is like, he's sitting in the car going like, but what the hell? These people are crazy. I'm just doing my job. I don't want to lose my pension and get fired. So I'm gonna traffic children to sick, evil people because that's my job now. Yeah, we've lost everything. You have said it better than anybody I have heard, and that is Trump can't fix the real problem in this country. It is a moral, spiritual problem that you could not have this level of corruption on either side of the aisle if the average human being hadn't bought into it and accepted it or been part of it. I remember in the whole cocaine era. You know, and then all the drug enforcement agents that, you know, ended up like busted.
What do you mean you remember the whole cocaine era? If you remember it, you were doing it wrong.
Yeah. But I remember all the agents and the banks were involved in that. You know, I say this all the time. You know, and people look at me like, wow, that's really a good point. Okay. I say, there's no way. You know, back in the old days, cartels handled cash. Because they were dealing with millions of dollars. Now they're billion-dollar enterprises. You have to have banks to transfer that money around, which means you have to have compliant governments in order for that to happen.
Yeah, but it's not all bad. I mean, you know, a lot of people got laid. You got a fucking DeLorean out of the whole cocaine deal, so that was pretty cool. You know, and then there was
America.
Whole airport.
No,
a gigantic airport was built in Mena, Arkansas, so that was also a benefit.
Cocaine is infrastructure.
And then, of course, you got a guy like fucking Hunter Biden who just, you know, smokes it. I mean, come on, man.
No. He would smoke it. No, what did he say? He smoked more what than anybody else? Some weird.
Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, Parmesan cheese. And
I gotta tell you, I've done my share of ill things in my misspent youth. I can't say I was
never
ever
Parmesan
so fucked
cheese?
Up that I actually smoked cheese.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean,
don't
I did once smoke a
comedy.
Banana, but that was completely
politics
by accident.
Politics bores the shit out of me. What?
I said I did once smoke a banana, but that was completely by accident.
Jesus. Wow.
Well, I was smoking something, and I didn't have a bowl, so I actually carved one out of an apple, and then I accidentally set a banana on fire. But it wasn't like I was so messed up that I'm like, hey, this cheese looks like cocaine, which apparently Hunter Biden was.
What a piece of shit. Well, if you look at the power of the institution.
I think his father should make him Secretary of the Interior. He's the smartest man he knows.
What about his brother?
He's dead. His brother Hunter banged his wife.
Joe's brother.
Banged his own brother's wife while his brother was dying of cancer. What a sick fuck.
Yeah, it doesn't say much about her either, does it?
Oh, she's a complete whore.
Yeah. Oh, I guess. Yeah.
You kind of have to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But she was lonely and in pain. Yeah. It's always the men's fault, isn't it? So, what are we talking about today?
Republicans sucking donkey dick.
They do. Serious, look at McCarthy's lips. I'm telling you, man.
Yep.
These freaking Republicans, I don't...
Fucking Yale. Good fight is when you win.
Yeah, Democrats understand that. You Republicans just don't seem to understand that. You keep crying foul. You know what? Democrats laugh at you every freaking day. Doesn't that bother you, people? Doesn't that bother you that a guy like McCarthy is still the minority leader? He's a piece of crap. He always was. He was Paul Ryan's right-hand man.
He's got a pretty
guy,
mouth.
That guy doesn't have a masculine bone in his body in terms of masculine leadership with punch. He is a player. That's all he is. California squish. You know? This is a freaking war, and we're playing politics. The Democrats are playing war. Trump wanted to call the National Guard and stop these people from burning the damn cities down, and everybody called him a Nazi. And the military came out and said, "Oh, you got to lie, so terrible." Even though every other president has had to do it to some degree or another. And then they build a freaking fortress around Washington, D.C., and everybody goes home and goes, Well, no, not everybody went home. There's still people in jail right now who were peacefully protesting, literally, just because they were in the area. Still in jail right now.
Trog.
Republicans, good
You're
people.
Wrong. No, wait, Trog, that what? Can't be true. They're in jail because they were involved in an armed erection, not because of
armed
peaceful protest.
Armed erection. What's that new word Biden said? Rumpelstiltskin? What the frick did he say?
He says some new gibberish on a daily basis. And, by the way, you were asking me, you know, strategy battle, we're waiting. Well, we're not waiting. There's stuff to do, and most of us should be doing it. I've done as much as I can while we were dark. But what you need to be doing is absolutely, constantly, perpetually ridiculing the left. Constantly.
No. Ridicule the right.
What's the difference?
Interesting.
What's the difference?
Because
ridicule
they actually
McConnell,
think
ridicule McCarthy, ridicule Schumer, ridicule
yes.
Pelosi, ridicule Joe Biden, ridicule Kamala, whatever the hell their name, Heels Up Harris, ridicule all of them. And I mean, it's almost like you could... They're ridiculing themselves. I mean, I go to the Babylon Bee on a daily basis, and it's almost not funny anymore. Cause it's not satire. It's really
I love
not
that.
Satire
I love
anymore.
That one. I love that one. DeSantis gets a hair dye and a suntan, and
yeah.
Then they made him look like Trump.
Well,
to run in 2024.
DeSantis
that
is smart.
Awesome.
He's smart. He sent out that tweet, Don and Ron 2024. That's smart. That's
yeah.
The kind of stuff you need to do. Now, that's the psychological part, ridiculing their psyop, not wearing a face diaper, not calling experimental biologics vaccines. That's the stuff you need to be doing.
What, you didn't get your DNA, RNA, DNA enhancing vaccine yet, Rick?
No, I don't have any DNA. I'm extinct.
You don't want to be
I went extinct
experiment.
65 million
You don't
want to
be...
Ago.
Bill Gates' experiment or Fauci?
I would like to experiment on Bill Gates and Fauci, and I've got some interesting ideas. So when you're ready, Mr. President, let me know. I will share some of my thoughts with you as to what you can do to both of those pricks. But no, the big thing you can be doing, the big thing, people should be doing is the precinct project. I mean, people are, MAGA people are getting precinct seats on committees almost every day now.
Fog City Midge. She's a fireball.
Yeah, but a lot more than that. I mean, you got to get out. And here's at school boards, precincts, it's important because you have to take over the Republican Party. Not the way we did with the Tea Party. See, with the Tea Party, they fooled you into electing, quote, Tea Party candidates, but you did not take over the party. The party is the local committees, and that feeds up to the RNC. So you have to take it over from the ground up. Now, taking it over from the ground up means nothing if you don't have the high ground. Guess what? Even with a stolen election, maybe especially because of a stolen election, Donald J. Trump has the high ground. Donald Trump, who's, 74 years old? Donald J. Trump is going to overshadow the Republican Party for the next 20 or 30 years, not just rhetorically the way Ronald Reagan has, unless you give it up, but in matter of fact, he's going to set the tone if you take it over from the ground up. Trump is the high ground. He's currently raising money bypassing the Republican Party. His endorsement guarantees a victory for the endorsed candidate and a guaranteed loss for the one that's being primaried. So you got to take over the party, and you got to put in MAGA people at the control of the party in the precinct, and you've got to elect MAGA Republican candidates like Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's what you have to do. You
She's
need to be
badass.
Doing that now,
not
in 2022.
You seen her doing those cleaning jerks?
Oh, yeah, she's a badass.
She says, well, I was on my 40th rep, so I looked a little tired. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's the kind of person you need. And there's plenty of talent out there if you push. Maybe you're not the one to serve on a committee. I mean, it's not that hard. It's just I've done it before. It's really fucking annoying. And it's not for me. Okay?
Nobody likes me on committees, trust me.
Yeah. And, they're not going to like any MAGA people on the committees. That's not the point. But the point is that some people are more predisposed to that. What you do is you find the people that are willing to do it and are predisposed to it. And it's not like it takes some kind of giant intellect. It just takes somebody who's willing to read the rules and then use them to push an agenda. But you can help them. Big time. You can help people get in there and get it done. And that's what you have to do because the machines, or lack thereof, I mean, maybe we go crypto eventually, or your blockchain, but until then, we want to go back to paper. We can count the actual audit trail. And more and more is coming out every day.
Wait, but if you go to paper ballots, you have to secure those ballots. You can't let them shred them and burn them.
Right.
So there's always a Democrat solution for every honest holding solution you apply. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you say, okay, this is the solution. Well, that's fine, but you got to make sure you have armed guards you can trust. Otherwise, they will destroy those ballots. That's the problem with the left. The left will absolutely do whatever the hell they can get away with, period, at any point in time. You have to be smarter than their criminal intent. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, what did that great electoral politics conservative mind say about elections? Joseph Stalin, he said, it doesn't matter who votes. All that matters is who counts the votes, right? It's in the counting that it matters. And who's in charge of counting the votes? The Secretary of State, the people that are hired, and who's in charge of keeping an eye on them?
No. Zuckerberg was in charge of handling the ballots.
Exactly. The local parties, Democrat and Republican, and the local state legislature. You can't delegate this to a department that is running without transparency, and the only way you can have that transparency is to take over the apparatus and keep your eye on it. And that's what you need to be focusing on now in 2021, not November 2022. By then it'll be too late. You got to be doing that now. No,
oh, you're
going to
love
well,
this, Rex. No, I got to tell you this. I'm sitting here watching this meter, the fastest meter spinning on this site, worldmeters.info, is money spent on illegal drugs this year, $110,278,900,000, well, that's moving too fast. That is the fastest spinning number in terms of increase of this whole site. We are in the wrong business. We should call G immediately and say, hey, how can I get involved on this?
You want to become a fentanyl dealer? just buy Bank of America stock and you're locked and loaded.
Anyway, you were saying some important, like logically important.
Well, it's the pressure from above, pressure from below, right, which is a leftist tactic for taking over a nation, basically. You've got the pressure from above. His name is Donald J. Trump, Save America PAC. He's pushing it. You've got to be the pressure from below, which means you got to be as active and as organized as street leftists. And it won't pay as well because BLM, you know, you can be an organizing street leftist for BLM and end up with four mansions. That's not going to happen for you. But you got to be as organized and as effective on the ground level taking over these precincts. This is the tactical aspect of what you need to be doing now. The long-term aspect is far more important. You got to reverse that long march through the institutions, and you're about 100 years behind the eight ball.
Hey, all you got to do is put a bounty on the commies. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Well, let me put it this way. If you were going to ask me for our super-duper predictive powers that we've been pretty accurate for going on over nine years, you're not going to win that battle. The long march through the institutions is done, and you're all mark-sized, and in the long run, we're fucked. But that doesn't mean you give up the fight, okay? And taking over the culture, re-Christianizing the culture, that's the key. The problem is that it ain't that easy because we're all weak, and things are happening. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, right? Taiwan. Well, China's Navy can only invade Taiwan in 2 months of the year, April and November. I don't think they're waiting for November. China is 20 years behind the world in microchip technology. Those microchips are overwhelmingly manufactured in Taiwan. China doesn't need Taiwan for military strategy. China needs Taiwan for those chips. And they might just do it because they've got their guy in the White House. Why haven't they done it yet? They're not so sure that their guy in the White House controls the U.S. military. That's where things are right now. And any one of these things could break loose at any moment. Any one of these things could break loose at any moment. But taking over the culture.
By Bitcoin.
Well, again, you know, like you mentioned earlier, reserve currency. The U.S. dollar is the reserve currency and will be the reserve currency for the foreseeable future, save for one thing that could change that, the Great Reset. Their plan on
Schwab or Schultz, what the hell is his name, the Nazi-sounding dude?
It's Klaus Schwab. Schwab. Klaus Schwab. Yeah, that's what I mean, Klaus.
I thought Schwab made tires.
I thought Schwab was an investment platform. No, that's Charles Schwab, not Klaus Schwab.
And less. Hey, before we roll into global war and the Great Reset, I want to add one thing, and I totally 100%, I've been a full supporter of this. Bannon's platform was a place that really put it out there, and that was taking over the precinct. And he's had a lot of people on there that have done it, including Fog City Midge, who did it in Florida, and she was amazed how easy it was. And they got a whole bunch of new people in there, and they were all, you know, MAGA, war room watching crazies. And I watched the film clip because they did some, you know, video recording or camera or cell phone recording. And I looked at the people at the head of that table, and I went, this place, no wonder there's no fight in the Republican Party. In this particular situation, it looked like a social was running it. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it was like people who probably had nothing to do in their lives were retired and they had their little group. And she said that it was the energy was, you know, and all these new people that went in there and did the precinct thing and got elected in and voted on, they were all full of piss and vinegar and energy and fight. And the people at the head of the table, the main people who run that part of the Republican Party in this particular precinct were a bunch of crusty old retired
Freemasons.
No, yeah, and I guarantee you that if you look at this across the country, you're going to see a very similar dynamic. People get into this shit because they got nothing to do in their lives, and they want to hold on to that position, of power, and that the prestige that goes along with it. We need fighters who understand the war we're in. And there are, it's like I said, when I heard, and it was on War Room when they had, I can't remember the guy, was he another Schultz? Was he a Schultz with the guy? When he laid it all out, how do you do it? Here's the numbers. And when it was half the seats were empty, while we had the most dynamic Republican president in our history, half the Republican seats, 220,000 empty seats. You wonder why these bastards in the Republican power structure get elected over and over and over again. There's nobody to do the job. So the handful of people that have been in there for 10, 15, 20 years got their little badge, and I'm the precinct captain or whatever the hell they are. You know, they're just doing it because they got nothing left in their life to do. And it's just a club they belong to. You got to get some people, some fight. And that's the thing that Midge said, was it was surprising how easy it was and how lackadaisical the environment was and how fired up the new people were. That tells you everything right there.
Local level,
get it freaking done. That's how Newt built the Republican wave. It started at the ground level in the local communities. You know, and that was in the 90s. And then we just kind of like, I don't know what the hell we've been doing for 20, 30 years. Nothing?
Well, I mean,
waiting for our elected officials to fix it?
It's not that hard.
Bunch of scumbags and crooks? Go ahead.
It's not that hard to do it, and it shouldn't be that surprising. And it was Daniel Schultz, not Schwab, Schultz, who is go to the precinct project.
Schultz.
Yeah, the precinct project. There's 200,000 available committee seats. But, look, if things were working properly and you didn't lose your culture, then the people who are, quote, retired would be the ones serving on these committees, but they would be looking out for the interest of future generations because they're trying to take care of their kids and grandkids. But that's not what's happened. Revolutionaries are always essentially a youth movement that's guided by the elders of the revolution. You know, they take off their beads and tie-dyes and take a bath and put on a suit and then, you know, take over. But it doesn't really matter if you take over these precincts, if you don't have the top of the heap. Remember, between 2006 and 2012, the Ron Paul revolution was massively in for a delegate strategy. Young libertarians joining the Republican Party to become delegates to elect Ron Paul. And they did it quite well. And what happened? John Sununu, Ginsburg, and Boehner and Ryan fucked them at the convention. Because they didn't have the high ground. They had Ron Paul, who, let's be clear, all right, Dr. Paul talks a good game, but he doesn't deliver shit. And his son seems to be following the same mold, okay? But the Ron Paul revolution at the grassroots level did it successfully. Enough states to get Ron Paul on the ballot at the convention. And the party from the top fucked them. So why are we telling you to try the same thing now? Because the dynamic has changed. It's almost like people have forgotten what happened in June of 2015. Almost 6 years ago, a big blonde bastard came down the golden escalator. Trump wields power at the top of the Republican Party. You need to take it over from the ground up. That's what has to be done. And not just the people that run for office. You need to control the apparatus so that you can handle primaries, caucuses, conventions, and get your local state representatives to fix the electoral system. That's what we're talking about. Now's the time to strike on that. Culture is a different issue in the sense that you ain't fixing that in two election cycles or 6 years or even 10 years. It's going to take a lot longer than that. It's a generational battle. But the electoral politics can be fixed rather quickly. In fact, if you fix it for 2022, there's no question that the Republican Party will take the majority in the House and the majority in the Senate easily. The numbers are there. Who counts the votes? That's the focus. And, Trog, what could happen? I mean, think about it, right?
Stacey Abrams counts the votes.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about it. If you have a sweeping victory for the Republicans in Congress in 2022, they could make Donald Trump the House. Then they could impeach Joe Biden for all of his crimes. I mean, they impeached Trump twice for no crimes, so it wouldn't be that hard to impeach Biden for actual crimes. And then you could also just impeach Heels Up Harris because she's an illegal anchor baby and not eligible to be president. And then the third in line would be Speaker of the House, Donald J. Trump. That could happen. I mean, it's a long shot, and I don't know if that actually an active plan, but it's not out of the question. We live in unprecedented times. I can tell you this, if the whole plan is to vote with the current system in 2022 and to vote in the current stock of shitty Republicans and then have Trump run in 2024, he won't survive that long.
No, they're ripping the guts out of this country as fast as humanly possible. It's basically the Obama era times 1,000. There's nothing different. They're doing the same thing. It's just more aggressive, more radical, more out of control, more illegal, and they don't care. I mean, how many executive orders has that guy signed, even though he had never read them? You know, 50? You know, the shit that they're pushing through, I'd say he, Biden ain't doing anything. He's napping in between Gerber baby food. You know, so oh, whatever the
I'm
power.
I'm sure that they give him a child or two to play with. I'm quiet.
Oh, I bet they do. Yeah, the blood transfusions. Yeah. So prepare for battle. Get out of debt.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
If the dollar's going to
crash,
you
like
get out of debt. No, I don't.
Well,
I'm just saying that we're at $30 trillion in debt. $8 trillion of that, actually close to, it'll be $12 trillion by next month, was created in the last 12 months. And that's literally insane. That's an astronomically ridiculous number. But it still won't threaten the reserve status of the dollar until there is a great reset, which if we don't fix this stuff by 2022 and 2024, there will be a great reset. You said, what's different now than Obama's administration? Nothing. I mean, Obama's, in fact, probably, and Obama's handlers are actually running the show behind Beijing, Biden, and Heels Up Harris. But what's different?
Obama's got his hand up Biden's butt.
I'm sure that's not the first time. But what's different is the SPARS scenario. SPARS, as in St. Paul Acute Respiratory Syndrome, 2025 to 2028. That's the difference. That's the difference. We are, if you read the document, the SPARS document, 2025 to 2028, we are in the beginning of the second phase at the dawn of 2021. We're actually now in the second quarter. That means that 6 months from now, people are going to start developing encephalitis and mad cow disease from these, quote, vaccines. And that's going to also weaken them for the next phase of whatever SPARS, COVID, whatever the fuck they're going to release. So you got to keep
in
mind.
What was the date? You said SPARS what? 2020 what? And what?
2025 to 2028.
Okay.
And, look, I've read the document,
where
but
do
if
we
you
find
want a
this?
Good... Huh?
Where do we find this?
I'll tell people. The video I posted. It was... Alex did it last week on his Emergency Saturday broadcast. And the document is available if you want to read it. Most of you probably won't, so I'm going to refer you to a couple of things. One, go to band.video. Band.video. There is a video...
Oh, right.
There is a video that with an intro by General Flynn telling people to take a look at it, irrespective of how you may or may not feel about Alex Jones, all right? And I can't remember the name of the video. But or just go to Bond Robbins' channel and look up General Michael Flynn and AJ Spars Pandemic. He kind of re-uploaded it. A lot of people are doing that. But go to Bond Robbins' on Rumble, right? But it's on band.video if you want to see it, and it is it's well worth the watch. It's a good summary of it, and you can link to the document itself from InfoWars or NewsWars. But it is a scenario that kind of contains all the Evento 1, Crimson Contagion, all that stuff. Now, is this everything? No, because remember, when they game these things out, they don't give away their whole plan. Right? The outlines are there, but they're going to hold some stuff back that they can surprise you with. So, but what you have to realize is that this is part of the global scheme. You've got several factions involved, right? You've got the Davos crowd, you've got the Republican and Democrat, and those are split here. You know, everybody has their little fiefdoms. You've got a bunch of interlocking, near self-autonomous, devolved criminal cabals and cartels around the globe that are coordinated on a very high level by the ministers of finance through their scientistic dictatorship, which is already existing, right? It's not the New World Order's coming. It's not the Great Reset's coming. I mean, they might be doing the Great Reset, but in other words, the apparatus is in place, and sometimes they compete with each other, like, for instance, the Eastern Outpost in Beijing might seek dominance over the Western outpost in Davos or the Vatican, for example, right? But it's if they have no real resistance, they're going to use the pretext of this pandemic and the ensuing genocide they are fomenting through the response to the pandemic for the Great Reset. Now, if that happens, the USFRN is gone as reserve currency. Gone. In which case, if you had debt, didn't have debt, it wouldn't make a fucking difference. It'd be gone. It's not going to be replaced by Chinese crypto. It's not going to be replaced by the euro. It's not going to be replaced by a gold standard, all right? Assuming that there is no Great Reset, for the foreseeable future, the U.S. Federal Reserve note is the reserve currency. But they are trying to put together a Great Reset. The only thing stopping them right now is some resistance somewhere, chiefly the resistance from Donald J. Trump. But don't think for a second that they have any qualms about killing 2, 3, 4, 5 billion people to make this happen. Now, sometimes the fear of the thing is worse than the thing itself. Sometimes the thing is pretty bad, and the Great Reset is pretty bad. And don't think that they're doing it, quote, because they're evil. They're doing it because they think it works. They think they know better. And you have to realize that these people operate in layers. It's wheels within wheels. You got to think back to the Well, it's always like this with secret societies, right? There's levels and degrees of initiation, and not everybody knows everything, and all of these things are compartmentalized. Don't think that modern-day intelligence agencies invented compartmentalization and misinformation and higher levels of initiation. This goes back to the mystery religions of the ancient world. It's the same model. And for you Christians out there, if you think, how can this be such a global conspiracy and who coordinates it? Well, you got to remember that your principal enemy moves at the speed of thought. And he's been around since the beginning. Keep that in mind. So, you know, as far as currencies go, Trog, I have no idea. Is inflation coming? Inflation's here, people. If you haven't seen it, like Trog was pointing out earlier, you're missing the point. Now, inflation is the increase in the quantity of money, which has been astronomical, right? But keep in mind also, we've got an artificial economic depression that was created because of the, quote, you know, COVID. So not everything is going to inflate price-wise. But some things are. What we're likely to see more than anything else is an increase in domestically produced stuff like food that is more a result of energy costs and government interference. And we're likely to, the big fear is that the inflation will cause asset spikes and then an asset devaluation because the assets are overpriced because of the extra dollars. Either
I
way,
just saw that Zero Hedge article you posted on this. I'll have to read it when we're done.
It's going to be chaos. I mean, look, chaos is the name of the game because chaos gives you an acute problem to deal with that is foundational and essential to keep you from taking over the precincts, working on the voting system, pushing Save America and Donald Trump. This is how they work it. Fucking morons. Back to
you. Oh, did you stop talking? Media claims Biden is mirror image of Reagan, blames climate for Biden's borders. I've been outside working in my garage, so I'm missing some of the shit you post. I just started seeing it. So Biden is now Reagan. Yeah. Wow. They just never stop. They just.
And they're having
the
a conundrum. It's
do.
A conundrum. We don't know why the states that had the most stringent lockdowns are seeing a spike in COVID, and the states that have opened up are having a decline. It's a conundrum. We don't know why.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, too, you know, I saw this article you posted, Epoch Times. Mike Lindell starts private investigation into Fox News for not letting him report on election fraud. One of the things that Lindell is doing is he's starting a fund for aggressive legal actions like what, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center. The left has always had these big law firms that would go after anything that moved their agenda forward. And the right, it just sits on its ass and gets its ass kicked, you know, through these processes. The laws get changed, you know, civil rights bullshit. Like I said earlier, all the left's agenda is bullshit. And they tell you it's about human rights or individual rights or the Constitution or whatever, you know, saving children or, you know, whatever they tell you it is, you know, the touchy-feel marketing bullshit, it has nothing to do with their agenda. And so Lindell is going to build a legal team and start going after people. And that's that. So this article that you posted, which I haven't opened and read yet, but I get what he's doing. You know, in other words, he's fighting back people. He's doing what, you know, I remember the rise of the
Tea Party.
Miller
is too.
Yeah, I remember the rise of the Tea Party. You know, I remember the energy, the enthusiasm, you know, the desire for change. Plus, people still can't get it through their thick heads that the Tea Party rose at the end of Bush's era of Republican overspending,
collapsing. We must abandon the free market system to save the free market system. That came out of a Republican's mouth, you know, just like Eisenhower. Beware of the industrial military complex that I built up during my administration, but you need to be aware of it. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, it's the Republicans, stupid. I don't mind helping Republicans get elected. I don't mind following people that fight, you know. There's some really great guys out there, but I understand who they are.
And gals.
And that's what you – and gals, especially the women. Yeah, well, the whole Tea Party was run by women, you know, and a lot of what I'm seeing in the fight and the feisty fight going on right now, you know, post the election stealing, you know, the stolen election, if you want proper English, are the women. You know, it's embarrassing. Not that women are doing it because they're fully capable of doing it. It's embarrassing that we got like five guys and 30 women. You know, come on, men. Grow a pair. Go to the doctor, have them dropped, you know. Might take an operation. I don't know. It's until we get some shit right and get our focus right, then we're just pissing in the wind, you know? And yeah, we should, you know, move forward with optimism, of course, you know, but don't kid yourself, you know? And I saw the article you posted and I hadn't read it yet. Like I said, I've been outside working. Plus I had some electrical problems in my damn little Ford. Had to chase it down. Finally got it fixed right before the show. But the hell was I talking about? I have no idea.
Republicans, some article I posted.
Oh, yeah. Trump just like went off. What do you call Mitch?
Save America.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's what we loved about him was he called it straight. You know, and he didn't take any shit, and he struck back, you know, and it's the biggest mistake that the Tea Party made was they thought, you know, this is the Republican Party, and we're going to move it forward and win back seats. They didn't understand that what you guys represent and want for your country and what you are fighting for on the street is not the Republican Party. That was one of the biggest mistakes of the Tea Party. You actually thought that the party platform was who those people were. No, that's just the bullshit marketing crap they put together to vote on to get you to frickin' knock on doors, donate your money, vote, put stickers on your car, and a flag in your frickin' yard. It was a manipulation. I mean, and we talked about this stuff in 2012, you know, when Romney stole the party, and you have that clip somewhere, I'm sure. You know, and admitted he stole the primary. Waiting for you to play it. Not going to play it?
Okay. I was having some audio problems. I will play it. I just have to find it.
Oh.
Hold on. I'll find it. It'll take a second. Romney stole the party. I don't have it under Romney. Let's look up asshole. yep, there it is.
Mom's jeans. Is it under Mom's jeans?
In some ways, we kind of had to steal the Republican nomination because our party is Southern, evangelical, and populist. And you're Northern, and you're Mormon, and you're rich. And you do not match well with our party.
Piece of shit. Yeah, we knew it then. That was my wake-up call, 2012, Romney. The Republican Party and what they did. That was when I realized my party sucked and I couldn't trust them. And we've held that message pretty strong through the years. Even whenever Trump backed somebody that I would rather see moved out, we would always add that little, you know, that little disclaimer at the end. I hate promoting this, but, you know, that's what Trump says to do. We always had that disclaimer, you know, because, and it was, there was a hope that he did have control of these bastards. Well, he thought he did. And now look who's in the White House.
Oh,
President Xi of China.
So you
yeah.
got to keep in mind, it's not about a party or even the people in the party. I mean, what is a party? It's a private club. It is a private club. And like I was talking about degrees and wheels within wheels. the actual operation is much higher than even the three branches of government and even the alleged sovereignty of the United States. It operates on a much higher level. But the parties are just shells. You can take it over. Look, the communists took over the Republican Party, I think it was in Nevada, and the guy who was there had to, like, switch to become a Republican because the Democrats took over the Democrat Party. We got to take over the Republican Party. It's just a shell, and you've got to make it America first, and you got to keep in mind who these people are. And we've known this for a long time, and they've been like this. The last time the Republicans had any mettle, right, any mettle, was on the eve of the Second Great World War to institute the New World Order. And that was called the America First Committee. What Reagan did, what Newt did, and what the Tea Party did were just blips. Although with the Tea Party, the story's really not over, because the Tea Party did in fact culminate in November 8th, 2016, when we elected Donald J. Trump, and then America First re-elected Donald J. Trump in 2020 by margins that are off the charts, and they stole it.
Was it Lindell that actually put the number at 80 million to 60 million or something like that?
But actually, if you look at the stats, it's probably even higher than that. And hopefully we'll find out what the real numbers are. But it's off the charts either way, because usually in a second term, the contender, no matter how popular he is, setting aside 1984, you get less votes in the second term. But Trump expanded even his, quote, losing number, which is just unheard of. It's off the charts. But you got to remember something. The reason we're saying take over the Republican Party is because that's what you have to do. The Republicans still suck. The party per se, it's just a private club. But the Republicans in charge still suck. And Trump knows it. And it's a pincer movement. You come up from below, he slams it from above. Bypass their fundraising. Don't give any money to the RNC or any of the Republican super PACs. Give it all through Trump's PACs, or to your local candidate if you vetted him for America First. Because you got to remember who the Republicans have been recruiting for 70 years, who the Republicans have been putting in charge for 70 years.
Hi, I'm Dan Joseph.
And I'm Eric Shiner, and we're here to talk about an issue impacting America.
Every 8 seconds, a conservative Republican gives in to the socialist demands of a fanatical Democrat due to a missing or weakened backbone. But now, there's hope.
Now, there's a charity specifically dedicated to providing weak-willed Republicans with the strong backbone they need to stand up to liberal name-calling. Republican Spinal Fund's Brace for the Cure.
We need your support. With it, we can help replace, repair, or reinforce the spines of Republicans who have lost their backbone and become unable to stand up for the principles of their constituents and platform.
Your donations will also go to fund research that may sometime provide a cure for Republicans who've lost their spines. Promising new research suggests that Republican backbone deficiency may be caused by repeated overexposure to controversial issues, which over time may actually liquefy a Republican's previously strong, healthy backbone.
The Republican backbone deficiency does more than simply render its victims unable to stand up to unreasonable demands. Left untreated, it can lead to the diminished intestinal fortitude and loss of manhood.
But you can help. Sign up to become a donor so that when you die, your backbone can live on in the body of a needy Republican, benefiting future generations of America.
And your donation won't just fund research. They'll also go to proven rehabilitation for Republicans with weak backbones, so they'll be able to get back on their feet.
Every month, we'll send you photos of a Republican your donations have helped, and an update on his progress as he learns to walk, talk, and stand up again for conservative values.
Join the Brace for the Cure now. And maybe, someday soon, a sniveling, hunchback, spineless Republican may straighten up and proudly say, I'm back.
Isn't that what makes a man? couldn't cure that in the pair of testicles.
Head up, people.
That should be the opening
over.
Of our show. Just that and then the bowling alley quote guy. That's it. That's all we need right there. You get that right, and you start screening people and holding people accountable before you give them money and elect them, because once they're elected, you can't hold their feet to the fire bullshit. That's a marketing scam. You've got to quit electing squishes. Sorry to be so about this, but holy crap, people, how many years, decades, how many decades of the march toward Western communism before you finally understand you can't trust these bastards. Now that you get that, okay, let's move forward and win. Oh, what a concept.
Yeah, fitting. It's fun. We had it for a while. It'd be nice to do it again.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I thoroughly enjoyed those 3 years. That last year with the COVID bullshit, yeah, that was kind of ugly. That, especially that day on that, oh man, that presser. Well, yeah, we're going to go ahead and, you know, we're going to extend the spread. I was like, oh shit, here we go. Yeah, that was a bad feeling in my gut that day. So,
by the way, in that SPARS document, they specifically talked about 14 days to stop the spread and then extending it to more than a year. 3 years, in fact.
You mean they listed what they did and their plan and how they executed it right out there in the open for everybody to read, but nobody to report on except for the crazy Alex Jones? Okay. I almost had a headache come on there.
I've had a headache for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I've had a headache for 20 years. Ever since I stopped doing drugs.
You probably change your DNA. And it needs it.
Yeah.
I know
DNA is extinct.
I had no idea how we were going to pull this show off, because like you posted, we're getting ready to start the show, you're like, the hell are we going to talk about? Trucks and Bitcoin? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, or talk about the pizza guy, you know, just as an example, just to give you an idea how limited people are in their ability to see the future. There's a story, a little short story I'm going to tell you. There was this guy, anybody understands cryptocurrency, what happens is you have this blockchain technology, which are basically ledgers duplicated across the globe in multiple computers or servers or server farms now, which Russia has a big one, by the way. And it took a long time before the ability to use it as a currency to buy things or whatever case may go. So they had these guys, they call them, I was going to say miners. Is that the word?
Yeah, miners are the ones that solve the math problem.
Yeah. And basically what they would do is set up their own server system. A lot of them started in their basements, and they became kind of like mini exchanges for the exchanges and the money to flow back and forth and purchases to be made and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of these guys, and they got paid in Bitcoin. Back in 2010, there was a guy who, you know, set up his system. He obviously, a lot of these guys are techies. He set up the system, and this was before you could even do anything with Bitcoin besides invest into it or get free Bitcoin given to you because the service is rendered to the system. And a lot of people were giving people Bitcoin. I remember Max Kaiser, he's still pissed off about it, gave Alex Jones a whole shitload of Bitcoin. Jones lost the passcode, or you know, I don't even know what happened. It was probably worth $10 million today. And so this guy, you know, he's like, he's got all this, what was it, 10,000 Bitcoins. Now, Bitcoin sells for what right now? $55,000?
Around $56,000, $57,000.
Yeah, so $50,000+ right now. And back then, 10,000 Bitcoins was worth about $41. So the guy puts out on his network, on his however they were communicating, their own blog network, whatever, puts out his network that he would give somebody 10,000. 1,000 bitcoins if they could order him pizza and get it delivered to his house. So some guy in England across the ocean makes a phone call to Domino's, orders and pays for two pizzas, not with Bitcoin, with his money, and has it delivered to the guy's house and got 10,000 bitcoins. That would be 570,000 or 5.7 million. Do the math. With a Bitcoin or more. So the guy paid 80 today, no, in today's dollars, that's $80 million. The guy paid, essentially paid for two pizzas. And you're talking about a guy who believed in cryptocurrency, was part of the initial wave and the initial setup and the initial mining and operation, you know, the exchange, so to speak, and still couldn't see the future, the potential of the future, $80 million that would be worth today. Human beings are short-sighted, even when they're in the midst of creating something spectacular, whether it's what Bitcoin has done or technology. I mean, I was watching some documentaries the last couple of days, and guys were talking about trying to explain Bitcoin to people, like trying to explain the internet in the early 90s, in 1994. And yet, it really started with email. That was the whole revolutionary thing that everybody just bought into. I mean, all of a sudden, you didn't have to wait for a letter and write or type a letter and send it back and forth and make a long-distance phone, an expensive long-distance phone call. Now we all have cell phones that are unlimited anywhere in the nation. And yet that is probably one of the most non-thought-about services we have on the internet. Look at the other shit that's been added on since then. Good, bad, and the ugly, because there's bad, there's good, there's all kinds of amazing things. And yet we can't see past our own programming. And the reason I tell that story is not you know, pro-Bitcoin concept, but the concept of human nature and the limitations of our vision into the future and how we can see the possibilities. Because I tend to try to think like that in my own life, but I also have a very pragmatic approach to reality, you know, the physical realities and limitations that we have. But at the same time, in the political sphere, there is unlimited potential. You go back and listen to Trump's early speeches, especially his Florida speech, when he talked about how evil these people are. Well, he was prescient in that sense because they did the unthinkable. We always know people steal elections. Excuse me, hiccups. We always know people try to steal elections. We always know that people cheat to some degree or another. And yet, you look at the size of this operation, how many people that involved, how much money, how many players, how many big-level players, Facebook, you know, Zuckerberg, politicians, right and left, they wanted Trump out of there because he threatened the system that Machiavelli talks about, the system. They will do anything to defend that system, even if they know being inside that system is detrimental to their own moral soul or this country's future. But because they're embedded in that system, whether they make money or they have the power, or like those people I was talking about in the committee that Midge, Fog City Midge was talking about and showed in her little phone recording, these people who get in there and become crustaceans, and they just hold on to that power. They don't know why they're there. They don't know what fight they're in. They don't understand what the hell their responsibilities are. Get them out of power. That is the one physical, pragmatic thing that we can do while we're waiting for Trump to unveil his master plan. You have to work with what you have now. Prepare for the upcoming fight, or welcome the Chinese Communist Party to become your ruler in this country. And that ain't an Alex Jones conspiracy theory. That is fact. They want to take over the world. You go back and you listen to several of Xi's speeches or read them, because you can't listen to them. I got to say, you know, the foreign language, but read the
translations of them, their goal is to take over the world, and they're not nice people. If you bother them, they basically tell you that you are a detriment to the society. Now you're an enemy of society. Now they throw you in prison, make you make Apple phones and tennis shoes for free until you die. They take your organs out when you're alive, because a live organ transplant is a lot better in terms of the medical potential. They don't give a shit about life. They were back in the days when they were cutting population, they were just nabbing women. Can you imagine being in your home with your young pregnant wife and the government come to your door, nab your wife, take her down and cut her open and freaking kill that baby and then give her back to you and go, there you go, one child from now on. Can you imagine the evil that it takes to do something like that? Well, that is the people who control the people that are running our country right now. This is a fucking war. Act accordingly. God, that could be my close right there.
Okay, good. Let's get out of here.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
What about the Twinkie?
No Tiki, no laundry.
No Tiki, no laundry. It's an ancient Chinese secret. Yeah, you're right. Now, let's keep in mind something. The guy that ordered the pizza, the $80 million pizza, to be fair, he had some Bitcoin, because I didn't own any Bitcoin in 2010. So he was thinking ahead a little bit. But yeah, no, your point is extremely valid about how it's difficult. Look, you can't see the future. And yeah, in the early days of the World Wide Web, after Berners-Lee at CERN developed hypertext transfer protocol, it was Dr. Shiba's email program that was the most popular app on the internet. Well, probably second to porn, but email program. And by the way, Dr. Shiba has been analyzing the data on the Big Steal, and he's pretty sharp. But you beat the cheat. I mean, the fact is that the reason that they've always cheated, the reason that they were exposed this time is because the MAGA movement, the America First movement, you people, and President Donald J. Trump broke their algorithm, so they had to cheat so obviously that it's easy to expose it. Yet some people still don't think it happened, and even people that know that it happened don't really know what to do about it. But it happened, and you need to keep reminding people. Like I said at the beginning, Molly Ball article in Time magazine where they were boasting about doing it. These are bigger problems in your perception of things because of your presuppositions and your worldview. Make sure you check out Butch Robinson's, I think it's now a 25-part series, about your worldview on the Bond Robin channel on Rumble. And you got to keep in mind something. Hypertext Transfer Protocol and email, that was in the mid-90s. The Internet, originally DARPANET, has been around since 1965. There was a 30-year period where there was an Internet, just not the World Wide Web that we know today. And, you know,
military
even,
system.
Yeah, well, and colleges and that sort of thing. But and look, you could have got on Usenet groups back then. There was, you know, things like Genie, Prodigy. I remember this stuff from when I was a kid. And back then it was all, you know, dial-up connections at, you know, 96 baud. I mean, it was nothing. The early part of the new millennium saw wider use of broadband internet. Now we're constantly connected. In the last 10 years, it's in small digital devices. These are massive technological breakthroughs that actually adjust the way that we live, even though human nature itself isn't changed by these things, although your biology might be and your thinking process could be. The amazing thing,
Yeah, be sure to get that vaccine and help it along.
Yeah, no shit. The amazing thing is, you know, look at the visionary that you elected in 2016 and reelected in 2020. If you're going to be thinking, you might as well think big, right? This is what it takes, right? You don't have to be the visionary. Maybe that's not in you. That's okay. We have a visionary. We just have to do the hard, thankless groundwork to get back. Because the fact of the matter is, whether you win or lose, you live for the fight. That's all you've really got. And you mentioned in the beginning about evil and the fact that it's a combat. Yeah. But what does that even mean? I mean, sometimes it's unfathomable because in some sense, we're all good and we're all prone to evil. The problem for most of us in the middle, the lukewarm, the mediocre, is we can't fathom how evil those that are committed to evil are. We assume that they are like us, right? Now, Rush, you just called me evil, and now you're telling me that they're more evil, right? We're all evil. I mean, we're all good. Don't confuse that. We're made good. If you say that we're evil, made evil, you're imputing evil to God, which is ridiculous. We're good, but we trend towards evil. Some of us just embrace it. It's not a failing. It is an ethos. And those of us that haven't embraced evil as an ethos can't fathom how evil the evil are. And yet it's a very difficult thing to grasp because in a sense it doesn't actually exist. It doesn't mean it's not real.
I'm going to add something real quick. Go watch Apocalypse Now where he's sitting in with the colonel talking about the stuff that he experienced and why it was so difficult to defeat the Viet Cong.
That's a powerful scene. Powerful scene. But you got to understand something. It's hard to grasp evil because evil has no ontological existence. Okay? What does that mean? It means evil wasn't a created thing. Right? Evil is a lack of good. And this is where it gets tricky, right? Because even when we get into the point of creation itself, creation is an act of God's will. A lot of the theological confusion that people have, including Christians, even Trinitarian Christians, a lot of the theological confusion is because we can't understand how a transcendent essence who's three persons and is in no necessary need or has any lack to create something. What's the point? Like, if he's perfect and his essence and his persons and everything is that, then why create anything that's imperfect, right? Love. But it's done through God's will, which isn't a moving part within God. It's his will. And when he created, he gave two orders of creatures will and angels will. Meaning the ability to choose, the liberty to choose, to exercise that will to make choices. Now, he made the will to choose among goods and to choose him in an ascent, which is a good word to use today, in an ascent to become like him or to become even more like him. Unfortunately, there was a glitch in the system, right? Because of the fact that he gave us liberty of will, the grandest creature he made at the time, Lucifer, chose himself in pride over God. That has a consequence. That right there is evil. Therefore, he is the evil one. Because when an intellectual creature, a disembodied, can't really say they're disembodied, they never had bodies, an immaterial intellectual creature, an angel, makes a decision with his will, It's fixed for eternity. Because angels don't have to learn. Their knowledge is infused. They're all nous. And once you choose not God, it's permanently fixed evil. And Lucifer is the evil one, and the third of the angels fell with him. Men are different. We're embodied. We learn slowly. We grow slowly. We have sense perception. And therefore, it's a more complex process for us, and therefore our wills go back and forth. But you have to understand, the will is a function of the soul, and you're at liberty to choose. And the fundamental problem that we have is that our first parents chose wrong, and you have entropy, decay, corruption, and death in the universe. That was the first time our human nature changed. It went from innocence to knowledge of good and evil. And in that knowledge, we trend towards corruption, where our baser and lower selves fight with our higher selves and try to pull us down that ladder away from God. And for those of you who are on the Western Gregorian calendar, you celebrated Easter. I hope you're having a wonderful Easter holiday. For those of us that use the older calendar, it's the fourth Sunday in Lent, in the Great Lent, and Easter's coming up in May. But the whole point of the incarnation, the passion, crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ is to change human nature. Now, he changed human nature at the incarnation, at that exact moment, not the nativity, not Christmas, at the incarnation, at the annunciation, which we just celebrated. That's when human nature changed and became deified and recapitulated and restored. But God will never violate your liberty, your will. You have to choose. And for those of you, you know, I'm saved Christians who think that, you know, once saved, always saved. Yes, Christ saved all of us. But we can choose in our liberty to reject that salvation. And the whole point of the journey is so that you can change your nature in Christ by having a conversion. It's an ongoing process. The fact that human nature has been changed by God himself in Christ is our hope and our salvation. But there are those who reject that. They follow Lucifer. They reject God. They reject Christ. And therefore, to them, the autotheistic apotheosis of man is within the universe, within the created order. And if you really want to get into this, I mean, well, I think Butch is touching on it. Jay Dyer touches on it frequently. You can see Jay Dyer on his own channel. He also does it in War sometimes. But the Collins Brothers book, which is a torturous read. I'm not recommending this to you in the sense that pick it up and read it. I'm just saying if you want to go further into this, because the format is torturous. I'm about 500 pages in, and it's fantastic, and I love it, but I also hate it because the format is torturous. There are no spaces between the paragraphs. There are a few chapters, but there's no table of contents. There's no index. It's a nightmare. But they get into it. Right, but and Bannon and Torba and Jones and Butch have been talking about this transhumanism. We've been talking about it. These people believe that they can make man perfect without reference to Christ, without reference to God, as if we're autonomous, self-created, and self-perfecting. They believe this. I don't know what you believe, but you'd better believe in Jesus Christ and the all-holy Trinity. And if you don't, time is short. But they believe that they can self-perfect. And they have no regard for you other than your utility to them. They don't have respect for life. They don't believe in the sanctity of life. They don't believe in the eternality of life. To them, life is an accident of creation. And they believe that they are better than you, and that when they perfect themselves, the created order will be perfected. And if it, you know, might cost you some money, discomfort, pain, death, that's okay. That's just part of the process. And you'll actually benefit from oblivion or from being reabsorbed into the cosmic pleroma of whatever fucked up thing they believe.
Your battery.
Yeah, basically, right? So when that is your foundational belief, you have no qualms about stealing an election, about lying constantly, about applying technology, whether it's electronic digital technology or medical biotechnology, chemical technology, a combination thereof that might have some tenuous side effects. There's no qualm for them to do that. They have magical thinking. They believe that the manipulation of matter is the ultimate power, and reign over life makes them into gods. They believe this. You probably don't. If you did, I doubt you'd be listening to my show. Trog and I would be uninteresting to you and irrelevant. You don't believe this. Now, you might not be a Christian. If you're not, I suggest you really look into it. And if you are a Christian, I suggest you reevaluate what that means, because most of you Christians have no fucking idea what it means. You really don't. And I will tell you this. I barely know what it means, and I know that I know more than most of you. Okay? So really look into it. I pray for God to illuminate your mind with his uncreated light. I pray he continues to do it for me, because I am struggling with this. But the enemy, the evil one, and those in league with him, whether wittingly or unwittingly, has no qualms about genocide. Zero, zip, zilch. They've, quote, vaccinated 160 million Americans at least one dose of poison, and they're about to hit another dose. I think 60 million are already second dose, and the rest of us, you know, whoever wants it is going to have it soon by May 1st or whatever the fuck. And if it kills that many, not a big deal. Not a big deal. Fauci can come up and lie, and he's probably going to be expended soon. Part of the SPARS plan is to decapitate some of these officials who, quote, misled us, even though the misleading and the back and forth and the illogical directions were intended. It is part of a psychological operation, part of a genocide operation, part of the preparation for the Great Reset. This is real. This is the battle. Now, when you really start absorbing this stuff, it's overwhelmingly frightening, and it'll what they want for you to do is to be distracted with frivolous nonsense or to be frightened into paralysis. You have to be a contemplative in action, and you have to be engaged in the combat in whatever capacity God designed you for, taking over the precincts, ridiculing the enemy, calling out the lies, educating other people when you're given the opportunity, one person at a time. But there is no sitting on your ass and waiting for Donald Trump to save you. He's not going to save you. He's not a savior. He is just a man, an incredible man with incredible capacities and an incredible position. He is the emperor. He is not the savior. And don't think these are two separate things. They're not separate spheres. They are interconnected. If you're truly a Christian, you're a Christian all the time. You can't just be a Christian on Sunday morning and on Easter Sunday and then go back to living a frivolous, atheistic, Luciferian life. It's a constant battle. And it isn't, you know, us versus them. It isn't as cut and dry as we would like it. It's a confusing morass of deceit, deception, confusion, weakness, self-deceit. But you've got to be engaged in that battle constantly. Politics is not an option in the modern world in which we live, because politics will not leave you alone. Politics has become an instrument of the evil one. And if you disengage from it, you cede the ground. Now, the larger problem is the cultural context in which politics operates. That's a much longer battle. Like I said, it don't look good. In fact, without Jesus, it's never going to work out. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not him, but if I were in the position to be the son, I'd be calling on Dad to send the four horsemen right now. Okay? And that might be the plan. I don't know. All I'm saying is, whether it ends for you tomorrow, next week, next year, or in a few decades, it's a blip in the scale of time and eternity. Everything you do every moment hinges upon your will. And what you do with that will in the moment will echo in eternity. God wants to heal you. He's done everything possible to heal you. He's given you every means available. Your job in this life is to slog through it, declutter, and let him bathe you in his uncreated light. Unless you are a hermit monk, you're in this world, but not of this world, you need to be engaged in battle, body and spirit. We try to give you some insights into what's happening, what the lay of the land is, what you should be focused on, because the operations of the enemy are to deceive you and distract you and get you off your game. And if you happen to be blessed enough to find a champion in the combat of politics who might right the direction of your nation, they want to turn you against him and each other on class lines, economic lines, racial lines, religious lines, all sorts of stuff to divide you and get you working against each other through subversion, infiltration, distraction. Focus up, people. The Republicans suck. We need to take over their party. We need to put in America First Republicans. We need to push Trump back to the White House, whether it's this year or 2022 or 2024. That's what we have to do. Because if there is no sovereign America, the power of our empire will be used to usher in a great reset. And if you think you're going to survive the great reset as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got another thing coming. Because you were the principal target of the genocide. It's that serious. It's frightening. It's scary. It's dark. It's depressing. It doesn't look good. Here's the thing. The future is yours to grasp. Depending on how you resolve and steel your own will and work together for the glory of God, who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, now and forever, unto ages of ages. Don't quit. Don't back down. The future can be extremely bright, brighter than you've ever seen. The best is yet to come. This is Rex and Trog, signing off.
And the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
was China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.